We've all heard it before. It's who you know. Now, hear why it's so true. Welcome to Social Capital, the weekly podcast where we dive into social relationships and how the investment you put into them establishes trust, reciprocity, and value within your networking community. Your host, Lori Hybe, will connect with top professionals and dive into their best networking stories and techniques to share with you.
Hey everybody, Lori Hybe here. Welcome to the Social Capital Podcast. Our show notes are found at socialcapitalpodcast.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at LJ Hybe and on Facebook. This week's guest is Sarah Schwab. Sarah is the founder and president of Content Creation Coach and the author of the Amazon number one best-selling book, Content That Dances. She is known for helping small businesses and entrepreneurs grow by creating and implementing an effective and consistent content marketing strategy. She has helped to create hundreds of blog articles, produce videos, webinars online, online programs, ebooks, and more. You can find out more about Sarah and her approach at contentcreationcoach.com. Sarah, welcome to the show.
Hey, Lori. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm excited about this interview because, well, content marketing is something that I'm also passionate about, and I know we've got a lot in common in that space. So let's talk a little bit about content marketing.
Absolutely.
Why are you so passionate about it?
Because I really believe it's about connecting with people and building relationships. I think sometimes people think of marketing as being sort of pushy or manipulative or, you know, about tracking and conversions and all this kind of stuff. And content is that place where you really get to build a relationship with someone, where you really get to connect with someone, share value with someone, share stories, find that common ground. And I love that. I think more and more, that's the direction that marketing is heading, is that it's about building that trust, building that relationship. And I think having content, sharing value is the foundation for all of that.
Absolutely. And I mean, building the trust and the relationship, that's a critical part to the whole sales funnel, obviously, right?
Absolutely, 100%. And actually, when you have the right kind of content, it allows you to attract the right people. You know, if they're interested in what you're writing and what you're sharing and, you know, the advice you're giving out there through your content for free, then you know they're the right people to work with you, to hire you, to pay you for what you do. And so it kind of saves a little time in that sales cycle, in that relationship building process.
Yeah, totally agree with that. So there seems to be some similarities between networking, which is obviously what this show is about, and content marketing. How would you identify their relationship?
Absolutely. And we'll talk about this a lot, I'm sure. But having just said that content is about building relationships, networking is also about building relationships. And I think in a way, content is a leveraged sort of a way to network and build relationships with lots and lots of people at once. Whereas networking, you're sort of doing it on a one by one basis, you know, conversation by conversation. But the approach actually is surprisingly similar. Another thing that I see similarly is in content marketing and in networking. For me, it's a give first approach. You know, what can I provide? How can I support you? Who can I connect you to? What, you know, idea can I share? And it's by giving first and showing up for people that you, build that trust and build that connection and have that, follow up. And then they're interested in being connected with you, in finding ways to work together. And so I think the giving first approach is similar for both networking and for content marketing.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of truth to that, and it works in both spaces and probably a number of different spaces. But I think you're really right when you're saying that content marketing and networking have that commonality. So I've heard that you have another passion outside of your business. Can you tell us a little bit about more about that?
Absolutely. I have a number of passions, but one of the things that a lot of people learn about me very quickly is that I'm also a dancer. And actually, as you mentioned in my introduction, the title of my book that I wrote is called Content That Dances. And for me, I think it's really important to share some personal pieces about yourself that people can really relate to. And so for me, when I share about my dancing experience, having sort of reconnected with it a couple of years ago after being out of a dance studio for over a decade, I rediscovered it and have been doing a new style of dance for me. I've been doing ballroom dancing. And every time I share that, people get really excited and they love hearing about it and they ask more about it. And it makes me unique. So, you know, there's lots and lots of people out there oftentimes doing whatever it is that you do in your business. And it's that personal touch, those personal stories that draw the right kinds of people to you. So I get all sorts of people and clients and things who think it's really cool that I dance. And so that's one of the things, the crossover there is, you know, not only do I like sharing my passion for dance and when I do events and things like that. As a matter of fact, just a fun side note, in about a month, I am heading to Las Vegas for my first national ballroom dancing competition.
Oh, that's so cool.
Excited for, right? Yay. Like that's probably the thing that people will remember about this conversation.
Yep.
that's the power of that. And oftentimes what I do with my clients is ask them, what is that for them? What is your personal passion or hobby or story or something that you can share that really does make that personal connection?
Yeah, no, I love how you've shared all of that. And there's so many things I want to touch on right here because of that. One, that you identified the uniqueness. I think that's extremely important, especially, you know, there's a lot of people that sell the same exact thing and you do need a way to differentiate yourself, and adding your personality and your passion really is a way to say, this is how I'm different. But also that passion is a way to connect with people. Like you just said, people are going to remember that you're competing nationally in Las Vegas. That's super awesome. That's very, very cool. I think it's funny that, you know, I'll meet people and over the years and, you know, touch base with someone again. And the first question they ask me is, so do you still play hockey?
Nice. Like,
yes, I do. Thanks for asking. Not how's business or, you know, anything else. It's that passion that obviously I'm pushing out to the world.
Awesome.
I just think that it's great. And I love that you tied it into your business, and your book totally resonates with that. And it really reemphasizes your uniqueness and your personality. So,
yes. Well, and I think some people, I'm going to push this a little bit farther if I could.
Sure.
Because sometimes I think people cop out a little bit when it comes to sharing personal stuff. You know, they don't want to get too personal, or they don't want to be too vulnerable or whatever. And they'll share like teeny little snippets or some story about what happened over the weekend. And that's fine. It's good. It's okay. What really connects with people is when it's truly a passion, when it's truly something that's meaningful to you, because that's hard. I know, I don't know about you, but I think it's hard to share that. It's scary. It means a lot to me. Mm-hmm. To put that out there is challenging. And I put in my dancing and in, you know, hopefully in hockey or whatever it is, you're challenging yourself and putting yourself out there. And that sometimes is, it's not about the thing, like the fact that it's dance. It's about the fact that I'm sharing that and being vulnerable about something that's really meaningful to me. Do you know, does that make sense?
Totally. And I think the key word is that vulnerability. It's letting go of this fear that people might judge you for something outside of this business bubble, right?
Totally.
But I think it's also just being genuine and real and authentic and saying, hey, you know, I'm a human being and I have passions outside of this world called business, and I want to share that with you. And we might be able to connect on that topic.
That's right. And more in the world of, that's another thing I love about content marketing. And I think networking to a degree, and maybe there's a bit of a gender difference here between women and men, but more and more I'm meeting men who are aligned with this as well, is that being perfect and putting up some facade about how I'm perfect and I'm awesome at everything and therefore you should work with me, people are starting to see through that. You've got to be more real than that. You've got to be more honest with that. And I think actually, if you're willing to own some of those things that are vulnerable, I'm putting myself out there just like you, I think that actually builds more trust and more respect.
Totally. I agree with that 100%. Because people can relate to that. Everyone has insecurities and fears, and no one's perfect. And that's really what it comes down to.
Exactly.
But speaking about fear, you know, one of my goals with this podcast is to eliminate the fear around networking. So could you share with our listeners your most successful or favorite networking experience that you've had?
Sure. There are a number of them. And I guess what one of the things I wanted to connect today is the link between networking and speaking. Because some people, you know, even just showing up to a networking event can elicit some fear and hesitation in people. But then when you take that to another level and you're the one at the front of the room, that's a whole nother ballgame when it comes to fear and public speaking.
Lots of topics around that.
Which happens to actually be one of my favorite things to do and ways to network. If you get to be the person at the front of the room, even for, you know, 10 or 15 or 20 minutes, then people, it's, again, it's kind of that crossover between networking and content marketing. I get my time to give and share and tell them what I'm all about and share my message. And then the people who come up to me afterwards, they've heard that, they know they want to meet with me, and they end up being the right people, as opposed to sort of being in a room and randomly talking to people and crossing your fingers that it's the right people. And oftentimes it's not, and that's fine. We can talk about that too. But when you get to start off and be the speaker, I think that is such a great way to kick off a networking and, sort of conversational follow-up with people.
Yeah. And it kind of goes to what you were speaking about earlier when you said, you know, networking is very much a one-to-one relationship, but content marketing can be one-to-many.
Yes.
And in a way, you've infused the two of them because you're sharing value, which is your content, in front of a group. So you're hitting one-to-many, but from that networking perspective, because you're face-to-face with those individuals.
Right. And so for me, you know, there's different approaches to networking, and I've tried many of them over the years. You know, going to having a sort of exclusive group that you go to and refer each other back and forth and whatever is a one approach. But the one that I've really gravitated toward recently, which ties into what I was just saying, is being a lot more broad with it. And so I have a couple of networking organizations I'm part of that are national, and you can really leverage, you know, people from all over the place in those organizations. And so, for example, I spoke a couple of months ago in Iowa, and I'm actually speaking next week in Minnesota. And those kinds of opportunities give me the chance, like I said, first of all, to be the one at the front of the room, at least for a little bit, and then meet new people and new leads and new prospects and, you know, build my network that way. And
totally,
that's been super successful for me recently.
Yeah. Very cool. Congrats on your expanded reach too, as far as your speaking goes. That's really awesome.
Thank you.
So how do you stay in front of or best nurture your network or community?
I think I'm going to sound like a broken record, and I am the content creation coach, but I feel like, again, this is where content can come in so super handy, and where they cross over a little bit. So whenever I meet people or collect a business card or, you know, have a conversation with someone and I want to send that follow-up email, that's tricky sometimes of like, what do I say? Do I just want to like ask them? Do I try to sell them? Are they ready yet? If you have something of value to send them, like, you know, in our conversation, we talked about this. Here's a blog article that I wrote on that topic that I thought you might enjoy. Or, you know, here's a video that I did, or here's my ebook that you can check out. And that's a great way to follow up with people. And then, of course, also potentially get them on your list, which is a more automated way of following up with people, you know, and keeping them, keeping you on their radar so they hear from you consistently on a regular basis.
That's really good. Content 100% is a great way to nurture your network. And it sounds like that's very heavy. Well, it is digital then, right? I mean, it's social media and it's emails, it's ebooks, it's blogging.
Exactly.
So you really focus, even though you're attending a lot of events, it sounds like you focus heavily in the digital space.
I do for follow-up and for my content marketing. I think they overlap quite a bit. Mm-hmm. But then again, I still keep an individual networking sort of CRM list as well. But then the crossover is when I do sort of what I call a content event. This is in the category of what I call catalyst content. So maybe I'm going to do a webinar, or maybe I'm speaking at an event locally. I can reach out to those people individually and invite them to that or to come check it out or whatever as well. So it's a blending of those two things.
Very nice. Cool. So what advice would you offer to the business professional who's looking to grow their network?
Get out of your house or get out of your office. 100%. So when you're talking specifically about networking, it's about finding the right place. And the challenge is, you know, not unlike sales, you're going to go to a lot of events or a lot of organizations and be uncomfortable and realize that you didn't really, wasn't the right crowd of people, or, you know, it wasn't the right fit for you. And that's okay. But the only way to find the groups and the organizations that are your people is to get out there. And I actually, here's a fun little tip that I do. And again, it's a little bit of a crossover because it's something I do in my email newsletter. But at the bottom of my email newsletter, I have a little section that's called Where is Sarah? And I put all of the different events and networking events or speaking things that I'm doing or places that I'm going, groups that I'm attending, at the bottom of my newsletter. And I know a lot of people who scroll down to the bottom of the newsletter and check some of those things out. And they know that I'm out there, I'm doing stuff, I'm being active, I'm growing my list. I'm, you know, it gives this impression of real connectedness and growth and action, and things are happening. And not only that, but when I have to send out my newsletter, it's like, what am I doing? If there's not enough on my calendar, maybe I need to look for a few more things, a few more events or things that I should be doing or going to.
Nice.
So that's a fun little tip. And I'll say one other thing. And I know some of your guests have done this in different ways, but there's benefit in showing up at other people's organizations or other organizations' events, but there can be real power in creating your own as well. So for example, I am a co-founder of what's called the Downstream Business Community. And that's a monthly event where we get together and have really deep business conversations. And I, again, it's kind of like being that person in the front of the room. It's my group, or, you know, there are three of us who created it. And we're always there and everybody knows who we are. And we get to meet all those people and collect all that information. And so there's real power in starting something like that. And I know people who've started groups like that on Meetup or, you know, Eventbrite, people who do maybe a speaking series and have their own event where you're drawing people to you. There's a little more work involved, when you're creating your own events to network and get to know folks, but it can be really worthwhile if you're willing to do it.
Yeah, I'm really intrigued by that. And if you're okay with it, I'd like to kind of peel that onion back a little bit further and just talk about why you decided to start your own kind of event or group. And then you said there's a little bit of work involved, and I think it's a little bit more than a little, but what would you say was the time investment from, you know, you're scraping the ground real hard to get it going to, it sounds like now it's kind of a nice, you know, consistent activity. You've got a nice amount of people that are involved and engaged. Let's just talk about that, because I think there's a number of individuals and listeners that are maybe playing with the idea of starting their own group or just curiosity, you know?
Absolutely. There are platforms now that actually make it really easy. But my warning to people is, you know, just throwing up an event on Meetup does not guarantee that anybody's going to show up. So the real work is in marketing, basically. It's in letting people know about it and inviting people, doing those personal invites. And like I said earlier, that gives you an opportunity perhaps to reach out to some folks that you have connected with but haven't seen for a while or something like that. It gives you something to invite them to. The other thing I would say is, you know, this isn't a main part of my business, nor is it for my two co-creators of this group, the Downstream group. And so I can't dedicate a ton of time to it. I would say maybe an hour a week or so, sometimes more, you know, but more spread out. But the key has been consistency, and that we showed up and we continued to show up. And I'm not going to lie, the first year, first 6 months for sure, there were meetings where we only had one or two people who showed up. And so they're actually more between the three of us, you know, we had more leaders than attendees.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And we talked about, is this worth it? Should we fold it? You know, how do we make this work? And the truth of the matter is, and this is so, again, another similarity with content, it's the consistency is where you're going to build your audience. Because people, you know, 1 month, if it's once a month, they have conflicts. They can't make it this month, or it's summer, or they're traveling, or they have whatever the issue is. And it might be 2 or 3 or 4 months before they can show up. And so if you are there long enough and you're on people's radar and spreading the word, that I think always, whether it's in-person events, whether it's your list building, your content, your website traffic, you know, being consistent with it, that's how you truly grow.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. So it sounds like it was about a good solid year of that scraping the ground before you guys were full speed ahead and satisfied with
where, I would say that's probably at. True. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And it helped in that case a lot to have my partners to be doing it with someone else. If I was doing it by myself and nobody was showing up, it would have been a lot easier to call it quits. So that's okay. Another thing people can think about is there a partner? Is there someone who, you know, maybe is looking for the same audience as you, even though they provide a different service or have a different angle? That's what worked really well for the three of us. And people actually are really attracted to that partnership because each of the three of us brings something different to the table. Sometimes when it's just one person's thing, it feels like it might be a little salesy. Maybe people hesitate because, you know, they know what you do or they know your business and they don't see the bigger picture. So I think it's really important to be clear about what's the value of showing up to your group, that it's not just, you know, I'm trying to capture leads. I'm trying to sell you my thing.
Yeah, sure. No, that's good. That's really good information. Thanks for sharing that. So we did talk about this briefly, but I do want to dive further into it. Digital networking or traditional networking, which one do you find more value in?
I feel weird saying this as a content marketer and digital marketer person, but I would say when it comes to networking, I'm hesitating.
You just don't want to say it. I already know what you're about to say.
I have examples of both. So let me tell you, like, mm-hmm. I said, recently, I have been getting most of my clients from in-person networking. That is
okay.
But when I first started my business, my very first client came from a telesummit thing that I was on, you know, where I spoke and it was a digital audience. And she heard me and connected with me. And I have certainly connected with a lot of people digitally. But then what happens, here's what I would caution for people. When I think about digital networking, different from, you know, digital marketing or digital sales or click here, whatever, is there's a real beauty in the moment when you transition someone from someone who found you online to someone where you're actually having a conversation, you're on the phone, or maybe you're on Zoom or whatever it might be. So I think that qualifies as digital networking in terms of where the lead is coming from, but the power still is in that personal conversation, that it, whether it's in person, you know, in a coffee shop where I can shake your hand, or if it's pseudo in person, you know, over Zoom or over the phone.
Sure.
I think that there's real power in that.
Yeah, no, I agree 100% with that. I think there's a lot of truth to that face to face or that individualized conversation. But the digital component is just makes it so much easier to find what you're looking for.
Absolutely. You know,
and to nurture
something that I don't know if you bump up against this. I definitely bump up against this with a lot of my clients. You know, there's some belief I think out there that people just have to do really good digital marketing and all of a sudden the money will just like land in their bank account and they don't ever have to talk to anyone. And that's for the most part, especially for service businesses who are selling, you know, consulting and coaching and their own personal expertise and they're working with people. You're not going to sell that without having a conversation with someone. So the difference, you know, the personal networking is key, whether the lead is coming from an event that you went to in person or it's coming from a digital source, I think transitioning it to a personal conversation is key.
Mm-hmm. Totally agree with that. Regardless of the source that it comes from, there needs to be dialogue at some point.
Exactly.
Yeah. If you could go back to your 20-year-old self, what would you tell yourself to do more of, less of, or differently with regards to your professional career?
So I have had quite a winding career path. and I don't honestly think I would change anything. I've always had an entrepreneurial spirit and I knew that I would start my own business at some point. I just didn't know when or how or what it would be. and so all the experiences that I had, I always did things that I was interested in. I believe here's the crux of my story. I really believe strongly in experiential education. So yes, I got a really great education. I went to Northwestern University. But all of the work and jobs and things that I did after that, I learned so much from every single one of them that brought me to where I am today. And every time I talk to people of that age, 20-somethings, this sounds super cheesy, but I believe that you should follow your bliss and follow your curiosity and follow your passion, because you never know where it's going to lead. And I think sometimes if you're overly predictive of where you want to end up, I think sometimes you shut out opportunities. And I know I'm not sure I could have told you when I was 20 that this is where I would be, but I wouldn't change anything along the way.
Oh, that's great. I do agree 100%. Just follow the curiosity. I think that's a good tip to share with this younger listeners generation right now. And And to follow the passion, there's a lot of truth to that. So I'm glad that you are satisfied with the journey that you've had, because it has brought you to a great place right now.
Thank you.
Sarah, we've all heard of the 6 degrees of separation. Who would be the one person that you'd love to connect with? And do you think you could do it within the 6th degree?
Oh, Manischewitz. There are two that leap to mind, actually, if I can cheat and do two.
Sure, go for it.
I don't know if people will know them or not. Ken Robinson is actually a British guy who works in the field of creativity and education. And Liz Gilbert, of course, the author of her most recent book was called Big Magic, is also around creativity. So my underlying sort of big why is about the power of creativity, which shows through in my work in creating content and through my dancing and through all sorts of different things. I'm really interested to know whether I'm 6 degrees separated from either of the two of them, but I'll tell you what I'm doing to try to make that happen.
Sure.
Which is, and I think you know a piece of this, I'm starting my own podcast. Mm-hmm. And it's a passion project of mine. It's not about content marketing necessarily, but it's about that creativity piece. It's about people having that creative passion or outlet in their life for self-expression the way that I have for dance. And so I've spoken with a number of people that have those kinds of just inspirational things that are part of what make them who they are and make them really fascinating. And I can't wait to put this out. And my hope is that after my first season of my podcast, that I would be able to start broadening those connections and invite people like Ken Robinson and Liz Gilbert to come onto my podcast. So that's my vision.
Well, you're totally going to be able to do that. There's no doubt in my mind that you'll be able to make those connections. And just from my own experience with podcasting, it is an amazing way to connect with individuals. And I am going to say it's going to far exceed your expectations.
Thank you. And, you know, it's funny, we come back around again to content, because podcasting is another great way to share content, to share value. It's what I call nurturing content.
Absolutely.
And every time I talk to people about that, that's what they say is, you know, the connections that you're able to make when you have that platform, then you have the opportunity to attract people to you. So rather than me having to chase down my six degrees of connections to other people, I can create the platform and attract them to me. And I love that.
Totally. Yeah, absolutely. Creating the content that pulls them right in, right?
Exactly.
Any final word or advice to offer our listeners with regards to growing and supporting your network?
Talk less. I don't know if anybody is familiar with Hamilton, the musical, but that's a famous line from one of the songs. And sometimes it's easy to get so wrapped up in that answer to the question and your elevator pitch and your, you know, when someone asks you what you do, you launch into your big long spiel. And what I find is that the most powerful conversations and best connections and most long lasting relationships, business relationships, come from really being curious and asking the other person questions and finding common ground that may or may not be what you think it's going to be. But when you sort of see your role as digging for those interesting stories, for those common ground kinds of things, that's when you really find power. And I've had people hire me directly who I didn't ever think would. I never hardly even talked about what I do, but we just had such a great conversation and they wanted to work with me, or they knew somebody else who they wanted to connect me to. And by doing that, Lori, it's not just about getting that next client or closing that next deal. It's about really connecting with people that you love talking to, that you love working with, that you really respect. So super quick, one of my clients, I just worked with her on her website content, and she's moving to Alaska for the summer with her family, which I think is super cool. And, you know, when my clients inspire me, that's when I know I love waking up in the morning. I love doing what I'm doing. And that comes from having just real open, deeper conversations.
Yeah. Lots of really good input that you've offered there. I love that you spoke about the curiosity, finding that common ground, digging for those deep stories, finding a way to just really connect with someone, and all that kind of lies in with that passion statement that you spoke to earlier. Really, really important.
And even the vulnerability statement, you know, sometimes I connect with somebody because, you know, of travels that we've both been to the same place, or maybe we have kids of the same age, or maybe we have, you know, you never know what that common ground is going to be, but it's often not, you know, it's not around your elevator pitch. It's not even necessarily around your business. It's about being a real human being and connecting with people.
Totally. So Sarah, if anyone was interested in getting in contact with you, what is the best way that they can reach you?
Well, find me for sure at my website, which is contentcreationcoach.com. You can connect with me all sorts of ways there and via email. You can even schedule a conversation with me. I'd love to chat with people. And I would love to hear from anybody.
Cool. We will include that information in the show notes. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thanks, Lori. I really enjoyed it.
This wraps up our episode of Social Capital. A huge thank you to Sarah Schwab for taking the time to connect with us. Join us next week for another great guest as we continue the conversation on networking and building your community. If you need me, send an email to Lori@socialcapitalpodcast.com. Otherwise, we will see you next week.
That's all for this episode of the Social Capital Podcast. Be sure to visit socialcapitalpodcast.com for show notes, more episodes, and to check out our free ebooks on business and networking.